So when you're talking to people, watch that, whether there's identification with mental positions, defensiveness in yourself. And then the enormous freedom comes when you don't need to defend anymore. That the otherwise unconscious need to defend your sense of self is relinquished. And then, to go back to the simple example, somebody shouts, "You idiot," when you are driving, and you look and you drive on. There's nothing to repair. And then he'll shout again because he thinks you're deaf. And and that's an enormous liberation, because it's the liberation from thought. It's the liberation from ego. Or the need to be right. Or just saying, "I don't know." Some people can't say, "I don't know." They must know. So you can play with that. There's enough presence in you. You can play with it. You can watch those movements when they are still there. And you can play with relinquishing that. They just fall away. It comes with the arising presence. And of course, that's the arising of spaciousness. "You did that and that. You are..." Oh, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. But there's space. "I did?" And then you look into it. "Did I do that?" And you say, "No, I don't think I did that." That's how you see it. But it's a misinterpretation, because that's what... Or you say, "You're right, I did that." And you're free. Reactions, all reactivity in yourself is egoic. And all reaction is always some opposition. Then you go from reaction to response. You respond out of presence to the situation. Jesus used extreme examples to teach this, which is the state of non-reactivity. And he used the extreme of example of, in his parable, of turning the other cheek. Somebody hits you on the cheek. Now, the normal reactive pattern is to immediately hit that person back. That's normal. Of course, it's a parable. It's used as a metaphor. And so he says, when somebody hits you on the cheek, you offer the other cheek. It's a very extreme example of non-defensiveness and non-reaction. Not necessarily to be taken literally, or perhaps, but it's a parable. Another beautiful parable, which I've told, some of you know it from Zen Buddhism. The Zen master with a high reputation who lived in a town in Japan was accused by a 16-year-old girl who was pregnant of being the father. So this girl was pregnant and told her parents that the Zen master, whom she had visited some months ago, was the father of her child, the child she was carrying. She told this to her parents. The parents ran to the Zen master, accusing him of having seduced their daughter, of being a false teacher, of being a fraud. And he listened. He said, "You fathered this child. She just told us." And he listened, and they kept talking, and all he would say was, "Is that so? Yes, you are the father of this child. Is that so? Yes." And then the child was born, and the parents didn't want the child, so they brought the baby to the Zen master and said, "Here's the baby, you look after him. We don't want it. It's your child." And the Zen master said, "Is that so?" And so the parents went back home. And the Zen master, nobody would come to see him anymore because he lost his reputation. All he had to do is look after the baby. And he did that because it was there. And he welcomed the form that this moment took. He didn't live through a mind-made self. So a lost reputation didn't become a mental story in his head that he derived his continued sense of identity from. The only fact was, here's the baby. Nobody's coming to see me anymore. There's nobody here, and that's fine. Nobody is not a problem. Whatsoever. Just there's a baby and empty space. It's beautiful. There's no mind-derived identity which says, all what I've built up, my reputation is gone. My life is in ruins. What did they do to me? They did that to me. Nobody did anything. He just non-reacted, welcomed this moment. A year later, the daughter became more mature and confessed to her parents that the Zen master was not the father, but to the boy next door. So the parents ran back to the Zen master and said, "Can you please forgive us? We just realized that you are not the father." And the Zen master said, "Is that so?" And then they said, "Yes, and we'll have the baby back now, please." And he said, "Oh, is that so? All right, here's the baby." Nothing happened. It's an extreme example of a life lived in the state of non-reactivity and the complete absence of drama, which is egoic, in such a life. The others may be playing their drama, but in the surrendered consciousness, there is no drama. It cannot arise. And this is the amazing thing. His life remained clear, simple, totally unproblematic, because his sense of self was not derived from mind-created identifications and stories. His sense of self was derived from presence, the presence of now, the spaciousness of now, the field of now, the unconditioned consciousness. What problem could there be in that? So, through non-reactivity, one could use a old expression, the buck stops here. Otherwise, this is the end of karma. Through non-reactivity itself, through time, it's only through the timeless that it becomes dissolved. So that's the power of all the teachings show that Jesus in Buddhism, the enormous power that comes with non-reactivity, which is surrender. The end of all drama in your life. How could there be? All right, that's how it is. It's just this. Whoosh, whoosh. It remains clear, unencumbered by problems, the field of now. And it doesn't, don't let the little mind tell you that then you become a doormat. I will become a doormat. I don't want to be a doormat. It's not that there is enormous strength and power in that non-reactive state. Totally non-defensive, but enormous strength and power go through you. There's also a story about the Buddha traveling from town to town and village to village. And occasionally he encountered people who abused him because they had certain mental positions. And they would shout at him. He would always... And people would ask him, why doesn't this bother you? There's nobody there to hold on to that. And it passes through. Idiot? Where? Who? So... Nothing can prevail against the power of presence. Yes, don't underestimate the momentum that is there in the collective human mind and its patterns. But it's nothing compared to the power of presence. Yes, don't underestimate the madness of the ego. But it is nothing compared to the power of presence. Course in Miracles says, the ego is insane, and do not underestimate the extent of its insanity. And this is very true. It is very insane. Look at human history. Watch the news. Don't want to become more personal, but it's in everyone still, unless it's already dissolved. But they are operating less in you now. Those structures are becoming more less solid. As presence arises, they begin to fade. They still operate, but with less momentum. The same old patterns you will often observe have their momentum, and they still arise in your life, but as the witness is there more and more, the witnessing presence, these patterns have less force to them. So gradually they fade, become transmuted. But just taste, all that is required is just get a taste of the surrendered state and see the beauty and power that lies in that. So people ask sometimes, how do I get rid of thousands and thousands of years of conditioning, of all the accumulations, all the collective conditioning that you carry inside? And it's so simple. Surrender. And as this transformation happens in you, people around you, you will find, are being affected by that. And others will leave you who are not yet ready. You are no longer interesting to them. You don't participate in the drama anymore. They can't use you anymore. What's the point? They leave you. He's not playing anymore. If you have a partner, then as the shift happens in you, the shift in consciousness, it will frustrate, if it's not yet happened in your partner, it will frustrate those patterns, the conditioned mind patterns, including the pain body in your partner, that need your cooperation to keep themselves going. The reactivity needs something to react against. The pain body needs another pain body to feed on. It needs your reactions. So in the absence of that, there's frustration. And then there could be a shift in your partner. It's happened. It's enough for one partner to enter the surrendered state. And then there's disorientation in the other partner for a while. And then either the openness is there and the shift will happen, or you will separate. But it will be loving. You would separate in love. Well, I'm not sure about your partner, but... many are ready these days for that shift, even if they look unready on the surface. There are many who look as if they didn't have a chance in this lifetime, and maybe not in the next 5 or 10 lifetimes, but you could be very wrong. And it's sometimes the most unlikely people that are suddenly open, and all it requires is to come into your presence. You might say a word or two, and their lives from then on, that's the trigger that awakens that which was already underneath all the mind structures. As somebody wrote to me, whom I met a long time ago at university, he said, "I wish I had never met you. My life would be simple, I would be conventional and normal." Of course, he doesn't know that it's not true. He would be very unhappy like everybody else. One more thing about physical conditions, because some of you, I'm told, are having certain physical limitations here. Limitations of the physical body, for some people, have been their only teacher, and some had needed no other teacher, but some continuous pain or continuous disability in the body. And it drove them to the point of surrender. The very same condition in other people drove them into more and more egoic contraction and misery and unhappiness. So you can see, and I have, you can see one person in a wheelchair who is filled with anger, resentment and bitterness, and you can see another person in a wheelchair, and I have met people, and you, there's a light shining through their eyes and complete openness. At Christmas, 3 years old, for even now, almost every night he wakes up in acute pain, abdominal pain. And so his sleep is interrupted almost every night by acute pain for 1, 2, 3 hours. And that is almost, to some people, that would be called unacceptable. Never getting enough sleep, always this pain. And then I met him after 3 years at Christmas, and I could see his ego had diminished greatly, and there was enormous sweetness, openness, softness, gentleness coming through. And then he, only then he told me, I said, wonder, oh, how, I didn't say it, I thought, this is beautiful, the rigidity is gone, there is a light coming through him now. Which means the conditioned somehow is no longer totally dominating him. And the unconditioned is filtering now through the conditioned. Somehow it must have happened. And then he told me that every night he wakes up in pain. And then I realized that was his teacher, and that still is his teacher. It is that that drove him into surrender. And the moment surrender happened, all the conditioned structures begin to weaken. Now the beauty of this is you don't have to be pushed into surrender now by life. It's the voluntary embracing of surrender. That's the beauty of the spiritual teaching. You can choose the yes voluntarily. You choose the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to be dragged into it, kicking and screaming, no, no, I don't want this. Perhaps you were pushed up to this point through some suffering or some condition, pushed you here. And from now on, it's a voluntary embracing of what is now, that's all. And that is an acceleration of the emergence of presence. You don't need more suffering. Because this could be misunderstood, because I've been talking about the beauty of suffering, that it can become a teacher and push you into surrender. Suffering, the very thing that's generated by non-surrender, eventually brings about the transformation of consciousness. You see how it's all connected? Even the suffering that is generated through ego, its very purpose is the transformation of consciousness. It's even that is one with the liberation. But I'm not saying that you need more suffering now. You don't need any more suffering now. Suffering has been your teacher until now or recently. And now, that doesn't need to be your teacher anymore. Your teacher is whatever form this moment takes. And it's easy. It's always easy. This moment is always easy. When you bring the yes to it. Remember the Zen master. Whatever comes into now, he goes, oh, so that's it? Oh, all right. That's it? Is that what it is? Okay. Oh. Oh. And this is the goodness of now. So deep that it has no opposite. Good and bad on the surface of things. The future cannot hold a greater good than now. And then you can renounce the future easily. For practical matters, it still works, that's okay. But you renounce it as a psychological need. And that's a very easy renunciation when you realize the depth and goodness of now. And so you renounce the future before the future is taken away from you. That'll happen anyway. Mm-hmm.